planting the city and also positing solutions. How do we get out of the mess that Joburg is in? And the first of these was the Joburg in Jeopardy, which was launched this week. And I'm going to be talking with the executive director, the director of the CDE, Anne Bernstein. Good morning to you.
Hello, Mondly, and good to be with you and your listeners.
Thank you, and thanks for joining us. Yeah, so one of the things that you say very strongly is that leadership, 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 that is at the end of the day, if we are to fix Johannesburg, we can come up with all sorts of plans, but that is the first stop. Can we just go into just the thrust of what Joburg in Jeopardy, what you say in Joburg in Jeopardy?
Well, this is our first report in a series. As you mentioned, we're going to be releasing one document almost every week until the local government elections. So it's an incremental sort of building of both our understanding and what we're putting out publicly. The Joburg and Jeopardy document really establishes the foundation for the crisis that the city is facing and why it matters. It doesn't just matter for you and me who live in this city and all the other residents, but it matters for the country and in many different ways. So Johannesburg is the sort of apex city, the anchor city of our system of cities in the country. And unlike many other developing countries, South Africa has a number of metropolitan areas. So you don't have an overwhelming number of people coming to just one city. And that's a historical asset that I'm afraid we've allowed to decline. And Johannesburg, so if, you know, for decades, many people in the rural areas of the country, in small towns where there aren't many opportunities, have come to the big city, to Egoli, to find opportunity. And it hasn't been perfect, but it's been a way in which they can improve their lives. So if Johannesburg's economy is stagnant, which it is, and we're actually losing jobs, not creating new jobs, this is, has implications for the poor and for upward mobility. So that's one big set of issues where Johannesburg's decline affects South Africa. But the other is, if you like, the other end of the scale, this is the country's economic gateway to the world. And, you know, you and I know in the last week there have been articles about the failures of Johannesburg in the New York Times, the London Times, the Financial Times. This is significant. It's saying to international investors that the country's most important city, its economic, commercial, and retail hub is failing. And so we're saying, well, can you fix the country if we can't fix Joburg?
And you know, they make for such depressing reading because I mean, like, we live it, and then when it's presented to you from the outside, when you when these and like, and you think, oh, I mean, like, and you can't argue. That's it. Yeah. This is exactly what it is. And basically, I mean, like, the Tata Morero and the current administration of Johannesburg, they blame the instability on the coalitions, and they blame the decline of Johannesburg on the fact that kind of like the city has been in the hands of coalition government and unstable coalition governments since 2016. I mean, which I think is a bit of a cop out because the decline goes back much earlier than that. What is that the root of this decline?
I think it's fair to say that political leadership is at the root of the decline of Johannesburg. Now, is it the fault of our political system? Is it the fragmentation of both the opposition sort of forces and the ANC? All of these factors, and the way in which I don't think we have the rules right for the country yet on how to manage coalitions. So there are a lot of factors here. But if you think about Johannesburg, just over the past decade, we've had nine different mayors, eight different administrations, And not one mayor has been able to complete a full 5-year term. So what is the implication of that? Sort of long-term planning has all but disappeared, because every time you have a shift in the politics, you have new appointments, new priorities, policies thrown out, and the city sort of shifts with the political winds, and all this uncertainty and political sort of maneuvering opens the door to tremendous opportunities for corruption. So there are a whole lot of factors at play here, but at the end of the day, you have to say, this is one of the most important jobs facing the country, running this city properly. And we're failing as a country to do that. And that is political leadership.
Mm.
And November 4, as you said, in my view, November 4 is an opportunity to fix this, which would be, we need a stable new government. People of, you know, real leadership, integrity, wanting to root out the corruption and criminality, but who are competent and are going to bring in all the other assets in the city, from civil society organizations to the enormous resources of the large companies based in Johannesburg, to help run the city. So we're saying, we need the voters to give us a stable, sort of proper leadership for the city. And then that leadership has to bring in expertise from outside political parties to help turn around what is clearly falling apart.
Yeah, and that political leadership is obviously extremely, extremely, as you point out, extremely important. And we've seen in many cities around the world the turnarounds that have been effected by effective mayors, effective political leadership. But then the administration is just as important. I mean, like the nuts and bolts of the running of the city. What's the capacity there? Do you think, I mean, like, cause obviously whoever comes in November, whatever color they are, blue or black, green and gold or red or whatever, I mean, they will not have the magic wand. They have to work with an administration that is effective.
Agreed. Mm. You know, one of the things we said when we got in GNU in 2024, and unfortunately this didn't happen, we said that if you're serious about reform and fixing what's broken, you have to start with appointing the most senior people in the city or the country. You've got to say, which are our mission critical jobs? Do we have the right people in place? And in some fair but quick way, you have to identify, do you have cadre deployment people there, or do you have really competent professionals with the skills and that we need to turn around failing institutions? So we're saying, and we will be saying, we're coming with a report on this. Number one, you have to get the right people in charge of key institutions, whether it's City Power, Joburg Water, and the 11 other entities that we have, and the HR department, and the contract management department, and so on. So you've got to get really excellent people in charge, and you've got to accept we're not in a normal situation. We're in a deep crisis in Johannesburg. So you need people who are kind of turnaround agents, who know how to do that, and who can take over the key components of the city administration. The third point we would make, and this is what the paper will be issuing in a few weeks, we'll go into more detail. You have to have, let's call it a professional civil service in Johannesburg, and you have to have crystal clear rules on what is the role of the council, what is the role of the politicians, what is the role of the mayor, and the executive manager, the city manager. And from all the evidence, this is not working well at all in Johannesburg. And people interfere, and, you know, there's my friend must get this contract to politician
Yeah.
A or B. So there's some fundamental rules that have to be put in place as quickly as possible about who makes these decisions, on what criteria. Can we get the procurement system much more transparent? And you don't pay for work that hasn't been done. And you don't suddenly discover that the price has gone up tenfold. So there are ways in which one can look very closely at procurement to weed out some of the corruption and criminality involved. So there's a lot to do. And you're right to ask about the administration, and we'll be talking a lot more about that in a few weeks.
Yeah. Does the fixing of the original CBD matter at this point? A lot of attention gets given to the to that CBD, and resources obviously will be poured into it, but it doesn't seem to go very far. You have the partnerships between the municipality and private businesses to create corridors, to create areas basically of improvement areas. Does the CBD still matter, or is it okay that our CBD has moved elsewhere?
It's terrible that the current inner city is in the state that it is. But one of the first things we were talking to people about last year already was a lot of people were saying the city is the inner city. And it's not. Johannesburg Metro stretch, is a sprawling metropolis, stretches from Midrand in the north to sort of Orange Farm to
Roodepoort out there.
to Roodepoort to kind of Eastgate, and with all sorts of places from Alex and others in between. So this is a sprawling metropolis, first point. Second, there's seven different regions in the metro, and we've actually just got an economic report where I specifically said, I want to know about the economy as a whole, but I want you to look at each region and what's going on so that we can see where are the most important areas economically and what needs to be done. So that's the second point. If we could turn around our inner city, that would be fantastic. And we do have some ideas on what should be done, but it's not the only thing that has to be done. So really my response to your question is you've got to understand the city is much bigger than the inner city.
Mm-hmm.
You have to understand what's going on where. The inner city has an important role to play, and I think this is an important area. Is it the first top priority? Probably not. You've got to fix power and water and the budget first. But can we look at the inner city, which historically has been a fantastic place in which newcomers to the city or people with not very much money can come into the city, have a place to work, to live, and walk to work. There are all sorts of advantages of a thriving inner city, and clearly this is an area where if you could get the rules right and the public spaces right and recapture the buildings that are so dangerous and have been captured by bad people, this is an area where you could attract real significant private sector expertise and money. But we've got to turn a lot around before we can do that.
Mm-mm. Yeah, and you make the point that Pretoria needs to get involved. I mean, like, Joburg cannot be fixed by Joburg itself. You need national support for it. And it's an argument that initiative that the business sector has embarked on around fixing Johannesburg. And they've said that in order for them to be able to actually commit, you actually need the buy-in of national and the province. Why is it important that national supports this turnaround? And I know, I mean, you did say earlier on that Joburg, I mean, basically South Africa needs Johannesburg to work. So, I mean, like, why is national's intervention so important?
Well, we need to define our terms. So this is going to be our last document, and I'm thinking a lot about this now. But what I could say immediately is, in my view, any intervention before the local government election would be misplaced and an interference, in a sense, of a democratic process. So you can't fix Johannesburg with the current political coalition, which is so unstable and has been so ineffective and worse. So that's the first thing. Exactly what Johannesburg needs from the province or the national government is something we're going to be talking about in more detail. If you look at the debt that the city currently has, which is enormous, the historic debt to Eskom, and the people who haven't paid, and there's a big debt, which even if you and I started the city, you know, we're running the city tomorrow, we can't deal with that debt. So how are we going to deal with that debt? That's a big issue. Secondly, are there ways in which you can facilitate how the city can deal with the personnel and institutional issues, not to mention getting public-private partnerships of whatever kind going as quickly as possible? We can't wait 3.5 years to go through all the processes that Pretoria requires. So I think there are a lot of issues involved in how you think about other parts of government, the private sector, and civil society organizations helping to rebuild Johannesburg. This is not simple, and it's not just money, and it should not be unconditional money. Mm-hmm. You know, you've got to it's a bit like structural adjustment. You've got to first have a really solid Johannesburg political leadership that commits to doing A, B, and C, and if they start to deliver on that, well, they're going to get some support. So there are all sorts of issues involved in thinking about intervention, and we will be coming with more specific proposals about that.
Yeah. And when it comes to the entities, there is a growing perception that the entities that the corporate entities that run Johannesburg, Joburg Water, Pick It Up, etc., that was a mistake to have reformed, basically to have set those up in the first place, and that actually they should be brought back into the city's guts. What's your view about the future of those entities in the fixing of Johannesburg? Should they be standalone like they are, or should those services be part of the,
Look, we certainly are going to argue that the entities should remain, that the rules governing them should be changed. First and foremost, you need to get rid of the current boards, many of which do not contain any professionals with any skills relevant to their performance at all. They've become hotbeds of corruption in many cases, and of sinecures and jobs for pals and so on. So in a way, the idea of independent entities has been perverted for corruption and other purposes, and they've been badly run, and the money that we all pay for, say, electricity or water is kind of swept away into some big pot in the city rather than being reinvested in the electricity infrastructure or the water infrastructure, et cetera, et cetera. So there are lots of problems that are not related to having a separate entity. And our view would be that to try and change this now would be the wrong approach. It's been done, and there's a lot of advantages if it's managed properly. And to reintegrate them into the city, you'd be spending the next 3 years managing that process into the city, which is not what Johannesburg needs. What Johannesburg needs as quickly as possible is proper management and understanding of what's going wrong in city power, and then deciding on how best to deliver electricity and fix the substations and so on as quickly as possible. So we would be, I know people from Cape Town and elsewhere keep shouting at me that they must be reintegrated, but that's not what all our research is indicating, and we're not going to be advocating that. Mm-hmm. And we will come with a special document on the utilities and some broad principles on that.
Okay, no, we'll be looking forward to the upcoming ones, and I'm sure you and I will be engaging a lot more in the build-up to November as they come out. Thanks.
Great.
Yeah, thanks a lot
for
your time, Anne.
Yeah, okay. Thank you.
All right.
Okay.
You take
Bye.
Care then. It's 10:30.